In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So the church is celebrating two feasts today. The first feast we're all aware of, the Holy Feast of the Pentecost, in which the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples like tongues of fire. And the second feast that we are feasting today is the presence of our beloved father, Abuna at Solomon. And he, for those of us who are new here, he actually established this church some, I think in 87 or something like that, many, many years ago, or 97, I'm sorry. And then he served in St. Mark Church. He was the longest serving priest in St. Mark, and he started serving there from 83 up until 97, and then he moved here with, to St. Mary's when it was established. So he was like the founding father of not just this church, but the Houston area. And we are so delighted and blessed that he is with us today and to see his radiant smile and his love that I can see yani, not only yani, Abuna Inen's love for him, but everybody's love for him just by everybody's face and expression when they see him. So we welcome him to his back to his church, and truly is a double blessing and a double feast today. Today, in the Feast of the Pentecost, we are celebrating the descent of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. And if we recall the last couple of weeks, we were speaking about how the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us or revealed to us the truth, whether it be the truth about himself, the truth about God, the truth about who we are as humanity, and the truth about our purpose and meaning in our life. He revealed to us this. And as I mentioned last week or the week before, that after he left and he ascended to heaven, he said that I am going to send you the Spirit of Truth, which is the Holy Spirit, to continue his work. And that's why in the gospel, he says today, he said that I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when the Spirit comes, he will reveal these things to you. So the Holy Spirit is the continuation of Christ's ministry within the church and within the believers' hearts. So actually, the function of the Holy Spirit is to not only continue the work of Christ, but to transform all the believers into Christ himself, to unify us all together into the body of Christ. So we could say that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot actualize the resurrection of life, or to be resurrected. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't be resurrected, because without the Holy Spirit, we can't be united to Christ, and without Christ, there is no resurrection. So the Holy Spirit and its work in us is essential. And actually, it was from the beginning that the Holy Spirit was active in the salvific process. Even when Christ himself was born, we say in the Creed that Christ was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary and became man. So he became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. So the Holy Spirit was active from the beginning of Christ's life and will continue for eternity. So all of us believers, we have to participate in the life of Christ. And how do we do this? It's through the Holy Spirit. Now this is the tricky part. How does the Holy Spirit reveal himself and work in the church? The Holy Spirit works in the church and in the believers in a mysterious way. Christ kind of likened it to the wind. If you remember when when he was speaking with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he says to Nicodemus, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes and from where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So everyone who is born of the Spirit is working in them like the wind that blows. We don't know where it comes from or where it goes, but we know that it just gives life. The same the wind that happens today. The wind blows around us, And what is the purpose of the wind? It mixes the hot air and the cold air, makes the clouds, and the wind pushes the clouds over land, right? And the clouds water the earth and give it life. We don't know where it goes or where it comes from, but we know it just happens. This is the same like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works. We can't exactly put our finger exactly on how and the process and everything, but it works in the lives of the believers and in the church, and it is the source of life to all the believers and all those who are in the church. And Christ, in John chapter 7, he gave us a prophecy about the Holy Spirit. And he says about the Holy Spirit, it says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And actually in the King James Version and some other versions, it says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. So not only does the Spirit give life to us, but it becomes the source of life that flows from the belly. And as we know, the head is Christ, and the body is what? Is the church. And out of the belly of the church flows living water. And this living water is the work and action of the Holy Spirit in the church. And this is something that will never cease to function in the church. So the question that many of us have about the Holy Spirit, I think it's probably one of the least known and understood persons in the Trinity. You know, we have three persons in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We can relate well to the Father because, you know, we all had fathers at one point, and we maybe might be fathers. So we can relate to the Father. We can relate to the Son, again, if we have children, and all the children have fathers, so it's an easy to relate to. But the Holy Spirit, sometimes we have a problem relating to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we actually refer to the Holy Spirit as it. But actually the Holy Spirit isn't an it, it's a he, it's a person. Because he's alive and he is active. It is to inanimate objects, like the podium or the book or whatever. So how do we discern the voice of the Holy Spirit in our life? This is a question that we all ask. Is this the Holy Spirit talking, or is this maybe the devil talking in my heart? How can I distinguish between right and wrong, whether this thought is right or wrong? And what is the voice of God versus the voice of the enemy? So I'll speak about four points. We'll speak about it for maybe a couple of weeks, and we'll let it be the theme of the Apostles' Fast, God willing. We'll speak about the character of God's kingdom versus Satan's kingdom. This is what we'll speak of today. We'll speak about the voice of the Holy Spirit versus the voice of Satan. We'll speak about some precautions against being deceived by the voice of Satan. And lastly, some guidelines for knowing the will of God in a particular situation in our life. So the character of God's kingdom versus the kingdom of the evil one. Why is this important? This is important to understand, and most of this you're already familiar with. But I'm going to put it in a comparison, a way of like comparing, to help just bring it to the surface. We all know it deep down, but sometimes we get confused, and sometimes society will confuse these for us. So I'll do these comparisons to try to bring them to the surface. But we have to establish what are the characteristics of God's kingdom, or those who live in God's kingdom, and how his kingdom functions versus the kingdom of the enemy, or the kingdom of Satan. And by this, we will be able to one step closer in the understanding how the Holy Spirit works in me and when the Holy Spirit is speaking to me versus when Satan is speaking to me. So we're going to speak about the things we know about God and his kingdom and how he communicates to us. And then that way, we have these as concrete that are in the Bible. And then we will know and able to identify the lies and the falsehood of Satan. So the first, if we look at and consider love versus hatred, we would all agree that love is of God and hatred is of the enemy. Everything in God's kingdom falls under the framework of mercy, love, and grace. Everything in God's kingdom will fall under these things. So if the believer wants to live in God's kingdom, these things will apply. Love, mercy, and grace. When I'm gracious to my neighbor, when I love my enemy, all of these things are signs of the kingdom. What about Satan? Satan, his work is marked by hatred. It's marked by indifference. Being indifferent. I don't care. It doesn't bother me if I go to church, if I don't go to church, if I read the Bible, if I don't read the Bible. I'm indifferent. This spirit of indifference is the spirit of confusion and the spirit of Satan. The spirit of contempt and disdain of God, our neighbors, and our enemies. So a spirit of contempt, hatred, I don't like, you know, repulsion. All of these things are the spirit of Satan. Is there somebody in my life who I feel like I hate, that I can't stand, that I can't look at? Any thought regarding this is coming from Satan. It's not a matter of, is this something from God or something from Satan? This is certainly something from Satan. Where there is no love, God is not at work. Where there is no love, the actions we do, if they're not out of love, then God isn't in this work. Also another one, obedience and disobedience. The kingdom of God is marked by obedience. From the Son himself, the Lord Jesus Christ was obedient to the Father when he came down and took the form of a servant to save us. The saints and angels are obedient in heaven. He says the word, and it's done like that. And even the Lord told us when we pray, to pray with this in mind. When we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is the will of God done in heaven? It's done immediately with obedience. So with God, there's the spirit of obedience. With Satan, however, he works to separate, and he works under disobedience and rebellion and self-righteousness. Where God works, people can subject themselves to one another. We have this order of submission. And throughout Scripture, we see of this idea of submitting to others. So the people in the kingdom of God will know how to submit. An employee will understand how to submit to their employer, even if I don't agree with how the company is run or is functioned. But I can submit to them and do what is asked of me, even if I don't agree. Children can obey their parents. Again, even if I don't agree or I don't understand, but because the God commanded me to obey my parents, I will obey them and I'm able to submit to them. The church members to submit to the hierarchy of the church. It's okay to disagree, but once our disagreements and we don't come to a conclusion, then God has placed the hierarchy in this position to lead the church and they're responsible. So I can submit to them with a clear conscience. No problem. I'm ultimately not the one who's responsible. I just function under them. The spirit of submission and obedience. Wives are commanded to submit to their husbands in love and honor and respect. And finally, believers are commanded to submit to God. You see how the Scripture and God ordained us or wanted us to submit to all of these people, all of these, in all these areas. So ultimately, when it comes to what I think and what God thinks, I can submit to Him with ease. We'll find the people that are rebellious, that are of Satan's kingdom, who can't submit to their parents, who can't submit to their employer, who can't submit to the church and are complaining, these are the ones who won't submit to God. When Scripture says that what you're doing is wrong, no, then God becomes wrong and I become right. Obedience and disobedience. Holiness and unholiness. Where God is at work, the Holy Spirit is working to produce purity in us, holiness, to be clean and to be transparent, to be open. So the people of God are open, are transparent. when they smile in your face, they smile even, you know, and they're thinking good of you. They're not smiling in your face and then talking about you behind your back. The moment we turn our back and we start talking about people, we join the kingdom of who? The kingdom of the enemy, right? Because his kingdom is where there's backbiting, they're stabbing people in the back. In his kingdom, there is impurity, there's immorality, there's filth. And you'll find he thrives in darkness. He thrives in doing things in darkness. Christ warned us about this. He told us, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So those who do things in secret, in darkness, are of the kingdom of Satan. Those who do things in public and they're clear, these are the people of the kingdom of God. Because I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide. But when I feel like I have something to hide, then I'm not functioning or relating to the kingdom of God. Giving and taking. We would say that the kingdom of Christ or the kingdom of God is the kingdom that it gives. Christ came and gave of himself. He gave us the Holy Spirit, right? He came and did nothing but give us. There's nothing that we had that he needed. He came only simply to give. And he gave without wanting or expecting anything in return. So the people who live in the kingdom of God, or the voice of the Holy Spirit that tells you to give without expecting something in return, this is the voice of God. But the Spirit that says to you, give so you can get something in return, this is not the Spirit of God. This is the spirit of the enemy. Because the enemy works in selfishness. If he wants to take everything he can without paying anything in return, he's a thief and he wants to take everything without paying for it. And everything, the people that function and listen to the voice of Satan's kingdom, they collect everything that's destroyed by moth and rust. Satan will tell us, you have to store up cars, you need to get a super nice car, you need a huge house, you need land, you need investments, you need money, you need all of these things. So this becomes where your security is. But at the end of the day, this will all be destroyed. As Christ said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So the kingdom of heaven tells us to store up our treasures in heaven, but the kingdom of Satan will tell us to store up our treasures on earth. So why am I making these comparisons? For us to begin to realize the voices that tell us to lay up treasures on earth, these aren't the voices of God. It was not the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voices that tell us to lay up treasures and to give to the poor and to help them without expecting anything in return, this is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Also, when you look at truth and lies, we said that Christ himself is the truth, the way, and the life. And Satan is a liar and the father of all liars. So when you get that little voice in your ear saying, tell the truth, tell your parents the truth, or tell my boss the truth, or tell my parents the truth, this is the voice of the Holy Spirit, because it's urging us to do the things of the kingdom of heaven, because God is truth. But the voice that comes to our ear and tells us to lie, no one will notice, no one will see me, it's simply a white lie, it's no big deal, very easy to identify. This is the voice of who? The voice of Satan and his enemy and his followers. Hope and faith, despair and doubt. The things of the kingdom of heaven, the voice of the Holy Spirit, will produce hope and faith. But the voice of Satan will produce despair and doubt. If you look at all the functions of the Holy Spirit, all of them have an element of hope. Have an element of hope. So the Holy Spirit, if it's working within us and is talking in our ear and it's something that brings hope, this is the voice of the Holy Spirit. But the voice that brings despair and doubt, this is the voice of Satan. So the voice that tells you, you know what, you did this and this wrong, and you need to go repent. Because when you repent, you'll be forgiven and the slate will be wiped clean. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit. But the voice of Satan will tell you what? There's no need to go or confess. You're going to do it the same day, right? After you finish confession, you're going to do it. Or you might say, why bother? Why bother? I'm just going to keep going, confessing. Abuna might got sick and tired of hearing the same thing over and over again. This is the voice of who? This is the voice of the enemy. We'll mention the rest of them quickly so we can conclude. Peace and rest. Peace, we identify with Christ and with God. Where He is, there is peace and rest and stability and a sense of contentment. The sense of contentment. I was speaking with Abuna yesterday. We were speaking about how I would love for all of the youth that grew up here to go visit Egypt. So they can see how the people live, some of the poor people, they live very simply, but yet they can be very happy because they are content. And this will teach us that it's not about the things we have that brings us happiness, but it's about God that gives us happiness in the relationships you have with one another. This is what gives us happiness. We can have fun with anything. I always remember when I was speaking with my father, when we were playing, and he would tell us how they would make the soccer ball with sharab in Egypt. Very simple, right? And this, they played with it in the street, and this was a source of fun for them. To me, I'd be like, what is this? If it gets wet, it's going to be heavy, and it's going to hurt. So, being content, this is from heaven. But the spirit of unrest and fighting and arguing and bitterness and all these things, this is all, dissatisfaction, this is all from Satan. Also, unity and dissension. The voice that tells me to unify, to reconcile, to forgive, these are all voices of the Holy Spirit because it has the element of unity. But the voice that tells me, no, you don't forgive him. If you forgive him, he's going to take advantage of you. If you do this, he'll never stop or she'll never stop. The spirit of dissension, this is the voice of the enemy. Sometimes he'll sugarcoat it for us, but we have to be wise and be able to distinguish the sugarcoating from the poison that is waiting within. Also, gentleness and hardness. Gentleness here, we always attribute God to being lowly and gentle and kind-hearted and very merciful, and Satan is on the contrary. He's very harsh. He'll promise you that he will be easy on you if you commit sin, but he doesn't tell you that the sin is the bottomless pit or is the pit of fire. He'll come and say, you know what, if you sin, I won't bother you. I won't tempt you. And he might come when at a time when we are, tired of fighting against him, and he'll come and tell us this. Just quit fighting and I'll stop tempting you. Don't listen to this. The moment we stop fighting, he's telling us, I'm going to stop as if we're going to get rest. But he's actually throwing us over the pit of fire. And it'll just get worse and worse and worse. And lastly, patience and haste. The kingdom of heaven works with patience. It says about when the Lord Christ came, St. Paul said, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. The fullness of time. So God waited from when Adam and Eve fell all the way up, 2,000, 2,500 years later, or however many years, 3,000 years later, until Christ came. So Christ is very patient. Satan works the opposite. Satan wants to make us make rash and haste decisions. Why? Because when we make fast and haste decisions, they're usually wrong decisions, right? So that's what he wants us to make. He wants us to hurry up, make the decision, act impulsively, and therefore make the wrong decision. I remember, I'll leave you with this. I remember when Sharon and I were visited Italy a couple of years after we got married, and we were on the train taking it from the north to the south, and it was an overnight train. We, you know, it was a very small room. I think the room was maybe like from here to that podium, just enough for our bodies to lay down on bunk beds. So I put my wallet and everything next to me, ready, right? And then the morning of, we woke up, the train got there like at 7 or something in the morning, and all of a sudden we hear the conductor pounding on our door, telling us to hurry up, get out, get out, get out, because the train needs to leave. So we frantically gathered all our things and left, and then when we left, the train was still sitting there. But then everybody, the conductor, left and was nowhere to be found. I go to buy our bus tickets, and certainly my wallet was cleaned empty. So he was hasting me so I don't take the time to look. This is what Satan wants to do to us. He wants to make us make fast, fast decisions so we regret or we make decisions and without thinking of them through. So Satan is about making hast and fast decisions, and God is a person of patience. Wait. Abuna, I love this person. She's going to be my wife and this, this, and this, and this. We want to get engaged next month. La, la, la. Wait. Just take it easy. Okay? Let time tell. If it's from God, it will survive the test of time. If it's from Satan, it will not. Just as the wise Gamaliel said about the way in the book of Acts, he said, leave the Christians as they are. If this is from God, how are we to stand in the way of God? But if this is from Satan, it will be dissolved on its own. So God willing, next week we'll speak about the voices of the Holy Spirit and the voices of Satan. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.